We need to be ready to meet whatever God puts before us. We need to have that spiritual discernment to know whether or not God is calling us to minister to someone around us. So today, as I begin this message, I would invite you to join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunities that you give to each of us. Give us that kind of spiritual discernment that we need to be able to hear your voice and to be able to sense the needs of others around us. Give us that grace that we need to be able to fulfill the wishes that you have for our life and for those you put in our presence. We ask you today, Lord, open our minds and our hearts to this message that we might hear you speak to us personally. We pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning of this country, there were men who were committed to the cause of separating themselves, our country, from British rule. They were willing to sacrifice everything for that cause. You think about some of the men that helped sign the Constitution of the United States: John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Benjamin Franklin. These were only a few of the people who were giving everything they had to make this country a great country of freedom. In Prophets and Kings, Ellen White writes in page 479, she says, "Among the children of Israel who were carried captive to Babylon at the beginning of the 70 years captivity were Christian patriots, men who were as true as steel to principle, who would not be corrupted by selfishness, but who would honor God at the loss of all things." Where are you at with Jesus today, friend? Are you willing to sacrifice it all? Are you willing to give everything to God? God is asking for a full surrender from each one of us, to be able to sacrifice anything he asks from us. And God is calling for us in this day and time for us to be able to sense our need for Jesus. We need to be hungering and thirsting for Jesus and for his river, his water of life. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will put his love into our hearts for God and for others. Read with me, if you will, here in the New Testament in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, beginning in verse number 37, Jesus is speaking to you and to me today. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You want the river of life? Then we need to be praying that God's Holy Spirit will come into our hearts and fill us with that blessing. You see, the river of life, the water of life, is Jesus Christ living in each one of us. That can only happen as we invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives on a daily basis. There needs to be a full surrender. There may be some things that we have to change. There may be some things that we have to get rid of. There may be some things that we have to start doing that we haven't been doing. Daniel and his friends, they were trusting in God. When they got taken from Jerusalem to Babylon, they could have done anything they wanted. They were enticed to eat the king's food, to drink the king's wines. They could have done anything they wanted. Nobody was watching. They were in a pagan country, and they were encouraged to worship all the false gods that were there in Babylon. But yet they were faithful to God, because they had purposed in their heart before they ever left Jerusalem that they were going to honor God and be faithful to him no matter what they faced. If it cost them their very life, they would not say or do something that would dishonor God. They were true, faithful Christian patriots. They didn't and they wouldn't compromise on any of their faith. The question often came to them, who should they obey, God or the king? Maybe there's sometimes you yourself or somebody else you know have thought that maybe compromise might be good. Adjust a little bit here, change a little bit there. Maybe your family member or friend is encourage you to go someplace that you know you shouldn't, or to do something that you know you shouldn't, and you say, well, it's just a little thing. What difference does it make? The little things do add up. We have to choose whether we'll obey God or someone else. A little here, a little there. It's okay, right? It's all right. We can make those changes. We can adjust our behavior. We can make those compromises. But to Daniel and his friends, that compromise did not come to them because they refused to dishonor God. God's approval for them was more dear to them than life itself. You see the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would rather die than dishonor and disobey God. It's an old story that all of us have heard. It's more than just a bedtime story, because this prophecy is given in the scriptures to let us know that in the end of time, God's people are going to be tested in the same way. There's going to be a call for compromise. Just make a little adjustment here. Just make a little change here. It's no big deal. And you know the people who say that, it isn't a big deal to them. The people who comply with that, who make those compromises, it's not a big deal. It shows in the way they do that. But it is a big deal to God. And as God's children, it should be a big deal to us. A little here, a little there, and pretty soon you're swept away by temptation. Your family, your friends, and other people are watching. People are listening to what we say. They're listening to the little compromises that we make sometimes that give a false witness about God and His grace to us. There are too many six and a halfers in our church. I know you don't understand what that is, right? We're supposed to be called Seventh-day Adventists because we believe in God and that Jesus is coming back to this earth to take us to heaven. We have to be ready to meet Jesus. We have too many people in the church that are carnal Christians. We need people who are committed to Jesus completely and fully. God wants our whole heart. He wants a complete surrender of our life to Jesus. Half of the world's, half of God's, that means we're not God's at all. Ellen White writes it in The Steps to Christ. She says that if we're not completely and fully God's, we're not God's at all. Where are you at with Jesus today, friend? What goes on in your private hours when you're not here at church and nobody's watching you? What happens in your life? What kind of compromises are you making with your faith? God is calling for us to surrender completely and fully. You want to go to heaven? You want to be ready when Jesus comes back? Making compromises will not get it there. God is calling for us to be faithful in every area of our life. He wants us to surrender completely and fully. Look with me in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15 at verse number 8. In Matthew chapter 15, 8, Jesus said, "This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, professing to teach the commandments of God." And yet, sometimes God's people live their life as if God doesn't even exist. Listen, friends, I don't see what you do in your private life. Those people that are listening on the internet and on the radio today, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you're listening to or what you do or what kind of compromises you make as a people who call themselves Christians. But I do know this. There is a God in heaven who sees and takes record of everything that transpires in your life and mine. And someday in the judgment, you and I have to answer for that before the God of heaven. What will you say then? A little bit here is okay. A little bit there is all right. Do this, do that. Compromise with friends and family. It's okay. Nobody's watching. That's what the Israelites thought of old. There is a God in heaven. There will be a judgment day. And friends, unless we confess our sins and ask for repentance and cleansing from the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I will have to stand before God in the judgment and give answer for everything in our life. What will we say? What a fearful thing it is to be able to make excuses before God. in Acts chapter 5, 32. We need the power of God living in our life. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it tells us there that we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. So the disciples are speaking here, and they're saying, hey, we've seen all of these things, but the Holy Ghost has seen it too. We can't hide it from God, because there is an unseen witness in this community, in the life of each one of us, that sees it all. God hath given to them that obey him the Holy Ghost. Okay? That's the whole point of that text. That God's Holy Spirit is to reside in each one of us, and as we are obedient to God, he gives his Holy Spirit to each one of us. The greatest need of the Christian church today around the world is the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. If we want God's Holy Spirit to live in this temple, our temple that God has given us, if we want it to be holy, we have to have Jesus living there because he's holy. God cannot live in the presence of sin. You understand that? So if we want Jesus to live in here through the Holy Spirit, then there has to be a point in our life where we say, Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. Cleanse me with your shed blood. And there has to be repentance, meaning that you and I turn away from those things that separate us from God. It means there needs to be change and no more compromising. We need to stand up for Jesus just like many of the patriots of old have done. Will you stand for Jesus in these days? Will you be ready to meet Jesus when he returns? What is your life telling the people around you, your family, your friends, the people you work with, your neighbors? What is your life saying to them? With their mouth, they're speaking great things, but their heart is far from me, just what Jesus said. Where are you at with Jesus today? Many lack God's Spirit. No power, no fruit. John chapter 15 and verse 1 through 8. Listen to this. In John chapter 15 and verses 1 through 8. Jesus himself said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Why do you think we have so many fruitless churches and fruitless Christians? Because they're not abiding in Jesus Christ. Listen, we can call ourselves by any name we want. We can call ourselves Shelbyville Seventh-day Adventist Christians. But unless we have Jesus living in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we're not Christian. If we're making compromises in our life, we're not Christian. Either we're completely and fully God's, or we're not his at all. The Holy Spirit leads us to repentance. It is impossible for you and I to ever accomplish that of our own. This internal fortitude that we think we have, we can make changes whenever we want. We can do whatever we want because all we have to do is just make a difference. Change it. No, there's no way that you or I could ever give our heart to Jesus without the Holy Spirit. There's no way that you and I could ever recognize our need for Jesus Christ and his saving grace for us without the Holy Spirit. There is no way that you or I could ever be obedient to all of God's will for our life without the Holy Spirit. There is no way that you and I could bear fruit in service to God without the Holy Spirit living in us. There is no way that you or I could ever long for heaven, friends, without the Holy Spirit putting that love of God in our hearts. We need to be willing to change. We need to be willing to do the things that God wants us to do, the way God wants it. What's been going on in your life? What's been happening with you? Have you been honoring God with your lips, but your heart's far from Him? What's been happening with you and Jesus on a daily basis? You see, God has called for us every day to renew our commitment to Him and to have a fresh new experience with Him through the Holy Spirit. Are you spending time in the Word of God? How do you know what God's will is for your life if you never speak to Him and He never speaks to you? Are you just blindly going through life, bouncing from one situation to another, hoping that maybe somewhere along the line something good's going to happen? You want God's blessing? Then you need to spend time with God. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." God has called for us in these last days to give it up, friends. Give up our connection to the world. Give up our love for the things that the world attracts us to. And if we were to put the same kind of commitment and love toward Jesus and His will for our life that we do for the things of this world, what a difference we'd make for Jesus and for heaven. There's too many carnal Christians in our church. And I'm talking about Christendom as a whole. And I don't care what you put as a name before you as a Christian. Whether you call yourselves Adventist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, I don't care what it is. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not a true Christian. And the only way to have Jesus Christ in our heart is through the Holy Spirit's presence in our life day by day. I gave you a book a few months ago on Reformation and Revival. I sense that very few people have actually prayerfully opened that book to read it. You want to be able to make a difference in this world? You want to be able to produce fruit that God wants you to produce? You want the blessings of heaven on your life and on your family? Then you're going to have to do something tragically different in your life. It's calling for a change of heart, friends, and you can't do that of yourself. It must come through the Holy Spirit living in you. That is the only way it'll ever be accomplished. God in you, the hope of glory. We need to admit our need of Jesus and His Holy Spirit. Do you have problems? Well, I can tell you now that if you have problems, they're spiritual ones. Because all the problems that we suffer through as human beings result from the spiritual issues of our life. How do we become filled with the Holy Spirit? You long for a happy, joyful experience in life? Then give yourself to Jesus on a daily basis. Spend time with Him. Change your priorities. Make Jesus a priority in your life. And invite Jesus through the Holy Spirit to come in and live in your heart, in your life. Wherever God is, that's where holiness is at. Isn't that true? Wherever God is, that's where holiness is. Isn't that true? Think of the burning bush with Moses. Take off your sandals because the ground upon which you stand is holy. That's what he told Moses. And wherever God is, that's where holiness is. God cannot exist. He will not be where sin exists. So it's time for us to make a confession of sin and ask the Holy Spirit into our life and bring us to repentance. That means we change. That means we do something different. We stop the compromise. We commit our life to Jesus completely and fully. Every day we need a fresh new supply of God's grace. Daniel and his friends, they stayed faithful to God. They realized that they were put in Babylon's court for a reason. They were to witness to the ungodly people around them. When Daniel stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, he did not waver. He gave God all the credit. And he did not waver to give him the bad news that was to follow the kingdom of Babylon. He was faithful to God in giving a message and to live a life that was devoted completely and fully to God. They would not do anything, no matter how small it seemed to the people around them, they wouldn't do anything that would compromise their faith and trust in God. And how many times have we sadly done that with God ourselves? They saw themselves as God's servants. And while they obeyed God, God worked through them. Human effort cannot accomplish everything that has to be done. Yeah, we can accomplish little things here or there, but it is without the Holy Spirit, without this divine power of God, you and I are helpless. And that's what Jesus said in John 15. Unless we're connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, you and I can do absolutely nothing of ourselves. We're helpless. And that's why you and I need the Holy Spirit today. We need God's Holy Spirit to give us victory in our life, to give us the power we need to resist the devil and his temptations. God's power, the Holy Spirit, and our effort combined together give us victory and success in our life. Do you believe that? That's what God wants for you and I. He wants that for every Christian that calls themselves by the name of Jesus Christ. God's power, our effort, victory, and success. You got something you're struggling with? Some addiction, some habit? Some thing that you've been doing for years but haven't really struggled the way you should? God's power, your effort. Listen, God is not going to snatch it away while you sit back idle, hoping and praying that God will do it for you. God's power, along with your effort, completes success and victory. You believe that? I almost heard that. God's power, with your effort, brings victory and success.
Amen.
But how many people were willing to make that effort? To do what God has asked us to do and cry out to God for His power to do it. This takes a fresh, new way of living. To trust in God. That when God speaks, we have to believe by faith that God can accomplish it. Listen, when He spoke this earth into existence, He just spoke it and it happened. When Jesus spoke healing to people, it happened. God and Jesus are still alive. They're up in heaven. They still have the power to speak whatever. If you have an issue, friend, that needs healing, then speak to God about it. Trust in faith that God will deliver you. If you have something that you need to stop, something you need to get rid of, then trust in God. Ask for His Holy Spirit to come and give you that power that is needed to put those things away. Be faithful to God in the little things of life, friends. You know, there's too many people that think, you know, when something big comes along, I'm going to be able to do that. But you know what? That if we trained our mind and to be able to do things that are only big, enormous things, and we miss out on all of the little responsibilities and callings of opportunity that God gives to us, we are going to be totally unprepared for the big things of life. It didn't seem like a big thing to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to eat the king's food and drink his wine. But yet they refused to compromise and to deny the God of heaven. And because of that, they were strengthened to stand up to the great test of their life. Every time we give in to temptation, we become weaker. And every time we say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give in to it. I'm going to call upon the grace of God. I'm going to have God's Spirit empower me to live for Him. Those are building blocks. It strengthens our faith and our trust in God. And it makes it possible for us to find victory in our life. Be faithful. Be steadfast. Yield your life to the Holy Spirit, friend. Lead your life to His leading. So God's purposes can be fulfilled through you. Just like they were when Daniel stood in the court of the greatest king on earth, King Nebuchadnezzar. Too many people today want fame. They want fortune. They'll do anything to get in the spotlight of the news. Those who purpose in their heart to do right just because it's right will gain the victory. Do what is right. Be a patriot for Jesus.